what are they pointing?
Okay. Looks like we're ready to go.
Come on.
Okay. Today is the 15th of January, right?
Last time I checked.
Thank you. 13th January, 2022. And we are in a board supervisors meeting in the public meeting room, starting the budget work session on facilities. And we have us here in the room. Lisa Evans, county supervisor, Lisa Martin, county auditor, Toby Broderick, facilities management director, Sandra King, director of personal operations, Lisa Martin, assistant auditor. And on the phone, I know we have supervisor Latifa Peso. And who else do we have?
Leanne Harder.
Leanne?
Carrie Loneman, financial data manager.
Okay, and anybody else from facilities?
Kelly Anderson, the custodial maintenance supervisor.
Okay.
John Eichel, assistant director.
Okay. Anybody else?
Linda, I'm on. Alyssa Wignall's on the phone, too.
Alyssa is on the phone as well. Okay, thank you. I want to make sure I got everybody, and I thought I'd just ask who was on rather than miss somebody. So, okay, so Joby, do you want to start us out with revenues? Is that
sure?
You'd like to do it?
Yeah, and I see we're on page 108. And it's got this page has got our group home revenues listed on it, so. Just start there if everybody's ready. Rent is the big one. This includes, we're now collecting rent for the Hazel Group Home, or as we call it, Transitional Living Center. That one's rented by Mary Greeley. Utilities, we did increase those a little bit, $2,000 from last fiscal year, but those our utilities for the other two group homes that Optimate Life Services rents from us, and we pay them, they reimburse, we bill them back to them, so we get reimbursed for them. That's why it shows us the revenue. But for the Hazel Group Home, the Mary Greeley rents, utilities are in their name, they pay them directly.
Gotcha.
Same with the garbage service. So the garbage service is just Duluth and Calvin, the Optimate. All right. Any questions on those revenues?
No.
All right. And let's go to facilities management. And this one is the administration building. We've got an updated FEMA grant revenue. It's increased by $97,000 as a revenue. We'll see later on that look at the expenses, but the expense went up as well. That's still an open grant that don't know if we'll get it or not. So hopefully I will hear before spring. That's kind of the tentative deadline on knowing whether or not we're going to get any FEMA money out of that one. And that's the last grant application that I have out there for FEMA. That'd be number 5, I do believe. That a 4 has been denied.
So just so I'm clear, so you've got down here for the FEMA generator grant, $522,936. Are you saying that it's $90,000 more?
Yeah, the revenue that we for this last fiscal year was a different grant application.
Okay.
So you'll see that last and this current FY22 that we're in was the anticipated revenue of $432,000.
Oh, right. Gotcha. So, yeah.
And then if that grant application is denied, then you will see me at a Tuesday board meeting to discuss what we want to do, get my recommendation on it. So, but for now, I'm hoping, knock on wood, we get that, because that would be pretty great.
Thank you for continuing to work on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of paperwork, but it's got a big payoff, those groups, so.
For sure.
All right, next one is the West Ames Shed. It's one that we rent out utilities are rolled into that, costs, so on and so forth. Fuel tax refunds is the other revenue. Questions on revenues?
So I added Justice Center facilities down here, revenue, at the bottom of that page, because we brought in $1,350 from the city of, or from the IS, from the towers.
Okay.
You billed out $1,350. Is that an annual billing? Do we know? I just put...
It will be a monthly billing, so...
So that $1,350 was up until a certain time?
Yeah, that was how the date range, it was... There's that curveball.
There you go. See, I win.
It was like an 8-month span.
Okay.
The first one was.
Okay.
And I think this last bill was somewhere around 100-ish.
Okay.
So yeah, we need to.
Okay, so I need to reestimate.
For JC.
Yeah, why don't you give me, when you think of it, send me a reestimate for the current year and what you expect to bill out next year.
Yep.
That's for having the tower out there at the Justice Center for the...
StoryCom?
Yeah, basically the utilities. They we put a second meter on the facility that just monitors the electric usage of the tower. So then when we get the bill from Alliant, we deduct what the tower costs in utilities,
sure.
And then bill StoryCom.
Gotcha.
So, and then it took... You know, the meter had been installed, but it took quite a while for StoryCom to kind of hash out where we needed to send that bill.
So this will just be offset in expenses,
yes.
Somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is not in this budget request, so as we submit it.
Okay.
The
revenue.
The expense or the revenue.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Separated out, yes. The utilities are for the Justice Center included in our expenditures for the Justice Center.
Right.
But we will need to break out and show the StoryCom.
The StoryCom.
It will be appropriate. So, and then have the appropriate revenue line item for the Justice Center.
Okay.
We need to get Lisa those numbers so that we can make that correction.
Any other questions on revenues then?
I don't have any additional questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Latifah, did you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. On to expenses then.
All right. 11. Would you like me to just kind of go?
Mm-hmm.
Down,
yeah.
Line for line?
Yeah.
All right. Overtime is, let me look. We increased that by...
Not in this budget,
not
you didn't.
This one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one admin. Let me get to the right page.
Yeah, go to admin and then...
Yeah.
Then we'll be on the same level here.
Yep. So overtime stayed the same. We see that primarily in winter time. Next one down is taxable fringe benefits. Well, that's any straight time pay. We see that when our staff is on call. It's for carrying the on call phone. Also, we see out there is uniforms that they purchase themselves and have been reimbursed for, and then cell phone stipends. Which we have two. It is John and Terry. We move down to custodial supplies. We increased just general custodial supplies by $100 for this fiscal year, and that is to cover. We got rid of later on where we used to have a COVID-19 line item. We eliminated that and just increased our general custodial supplies by $100 to, that's mostly to cover face coverage for the public. So the rest of everything else is now just covered in our normal day-to-day duties. Some of those recommendations we've just taken on as normal day-to-day operations instead of being above and beyond, like they, you know, were voted first yet. Now, we've got, you know, new equipment repairs, vacuum cleaners. Go any part, custodial equipment needs work or replaced, that's work paid for out laundry services, that's rugs. Mm-hmm. Primarily it says our rug costs for this building. Window cleaning, we got a contract out. The exterior windows, this is the elevation building. We used to do them in-house, and by the time we rented a lift and paid our own staff, it was actually more cost-effective to hire a company that has their own equipment to do that. Now they've got new equipment where they don't have to use aerial lifts for 90% of the windows. Oh. They've got these nice machines that have long wands and brushes. So
good.
Yeah.
Much safer.
Yeah, much safer. Waste removal, garbage service, and pest control. Any questions about 232?
No.
All right. 241, we do have a re-estimation for the current fiscal year 22. This is due to the state mandated code update to the service elevator called Lucy's Elevator, primarily used for elections.
Also known as the old jail elevator.
Old jail elevator, yeah, it's got half a dozen different names.
World's tiniest elevator.
World's tiniest.
World's tiniest elevator.
It's like a little coffin.
It is. It moves real slow.
Yeah.
Anyways, when we budgeted for FY22, you know, we had the proposals, and then unfortunately, a lot of things, material costs skyrocketed. So, but we had to do the update to be code compliant, otherwise the state would shut the elevator, take the elevator out of service. So that is the majority of the reason for the pre-estimation for FY22. We'll get into FY23 request. Spences, unless you have questions on the pre-estimation.
Going
too fast, let me know.
You're fine.
Okay. General repairs. That's just kind of, you know, the odds and ends things, fixing bolts in the wall, that kind of stuff. Geothermal, and then our rooftop filters, that's our heat pumps in the building, and then ERV brings in all the fresh air. It's all the filters for that. Fire alarm testing and monitoring, and then any needed repairs. Ice melt, salt, sand mix, you know, wintertime supplies, general elevator maintenance, that's our contracted service. We have monthly inspections on our elevators to make sure they're safe for operation. Hazardous disposal fee, that's where you see as we convert and take out all of our light bulbs that are my brain drop
fluorescent
and mercury in them, so they have to be recycled properly. Any of our old paints and stains, take them down the bond ramp, get them recycled, dispose of them properly. Geothermal closed loop water treatment, that's the well field chemicals and testing. Quarterly testing on that, send it on. Make sure that the fluid in there is has right on a glycol in it so it doesn't freeze. Any chemicals that we need to add to balance balance. Tools and equipment, see that one we increased. We're looking to replace all of our battery hand tools next fiscal year because the ones we currently have could become obsolete. We can't get batteries for them. So we increased that to replace those. And we would like to do some more soundproofing like we did in the board office in areas that we can, some areas we can't, we all know. Everybody that works in this building knows what I'm talking about. How much sound travels. So we're looking at starting to try and do that throughout the building.
That was really helpful in the board office because it's just, in terms of being able to concentrate sometimes, you know, when conversations come wafting through the whole place and you're trying to read something, it just, you know, so it's made it a lot pleasanter place to work.
Yeah, work well.
Because where we kind of ran into a hang up with that is designing the HVAC system has wild return, the return air that goes back to the units. Basically, anything above the ceiling is just open, so it draws air everywhere. So, sealing up rooms can't do that because then we cut off the airflow. One of our maintenance techs designed a nice little box with sound deadening plates in it so that the air moves through it, but it muffles the sound waves. That's what we use between, you know,
Incredible.
Now I have to bring a wine glass to work and go like this.
There you go.
I was going to ask if he did a patent on it.
I'm thinking that it was, there might be a patent, but you probably should. All right.
Story County would hold it if he did it on work time.
Correct. all right, then. We would like to add interior cameras to increase safety and security. These would just be in the public areas, is what we're anticipating now. It's a total of 12, covers the hallways, the front entry.
Good idea.
Yeah, because right now we just cover the exits.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, the next one is keys, keyless entry, maintenance, and badge supplies. Kind of self-explanatory. And then the next line is the annual or monthly monitoring fees for our keyless entry and button. And we increase the video monitoring accordingly if we approve of putting in the entry. That fee also includes the monitoring. All right. Any questions for 241? All right. Move on to 250. Fuel and repairs to one of our fleet trucks. It's up truck number 5. And snow removal equipment. Questions on that one? All right. Down to 260. General office supplies, printer, ink, paper. And the next one is we are proposing to switch to a new work order software. You can see it's 5W5. different building budgets. So that 4815 is administration portion of that. Currently, we use SysAid like IT does. It's not a bad system, but it's an IT type system. It's based more for IT type workforce. So we've made it work for us, but the big issue we run into is one, it's only county employees can access it. Well, our group homes and all the state agencies don't have access to it. Mm-hmm. So when they put work orders in, they have to send us an email, and one of us in the office has to create the work order. And then this work order system that we are looking at is more for a facilities management type operation. It has asset tracking, vehicle maintenance tracking. It's web-based, with all of our tenants can have a login, and if they can submit work orders, we can use it with our smart devices so that you can access those work orders out in the field. So our techs and custodians, instead of having to be at a county workstation to access them. Plus, we can set it up to put all of our equipment, heat pumps, vehicles in there, so that when a work order is created for a particular piece of equipment, so we have them all numbered, named, it'll auto-populate that to a log for that particular piece of equipment. Where right now we have a separate log where we have to take any heat pump gets worked on, whatever the techs do to that particular unit, then we have to take their details from the work order and manually put them into mm-hmm. an Excel spreadsheet so that we can track it, but this work order system mm-hmm. will automatically do that.
So is this to purchase the software?
The initial purchase price is 20 some thousand. You should probably have the note somewhere. And then it's got an annual fee of around 13,000. And that's for all locations that the software will be on.
Is the 4815, is that equally divided among the five?
Correct.
Okay. It's going to be 24,000.
Yeah, for the first year. And then it's 13,000 annually for each year after. That 13,000 will be divided by the five.
And that's just troubleshooting, updates, all the normal IT kind of stuff that comes with that.
Sure. Yeah, the maintenance and upkeep of the software and the license.
I suppose that's a going rates, but boy, that seems high.
Yeah, we sampled three types of software. This one was the cheapest, and it's the one we like the best.
That's good then.
Yeah, and it's the same system that Story County Medical and Mary Daly Medical Center uses, so I spoke with both for those operations to see how they liked it. They really liked it, and the end user likes it as well. It's a lot more user-friendly, too.
Mm-hmm. That's going to save you a lot of staff time, all the redundancies.
We spend quite a amount of time just in staff time, not just in the, us office staff, but also the techs. How it's laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Like our current system, we're limited to the amount of email addresses you can send something to,
mm-hmm.
where SysAid requires a separate license for every email address, where this new one is unlimited. So we can send like right now, for us to send a work order to one specific maintenance tech, we have to send it to the appropriate building location and additionally forward that email to that particular maintenance tech. But that particular maintenance tech has to access, it will have to be at the county-owned workstation to put details in where this work order system, since they all carry smartphones, they can access it by their smartphone. Plus, it's got a, another key feature to it is it's got an inventory tracking system that uses QR codes, which we will use with our custodial supplies. We can set minimum and maximums, and this the custodians use it. They simply take a picture of the QR code, and it'll automatically send Kelly a report saying, hey, you're down to X amount of bottles of soap, paper towels, instead of now, the custodians twice monthly have to fill out an Excel spreadsheet, email it to Kelly so that he can order it. We're now automatically able to take a picture of the QR code. Plus, we can also assign a QR code to each piece of equipment to track material use on any heat pump or filters, that kind of stuff. So instead of manually having to have somebody go and count, okay, now we need to order this, get online.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, it does.
It'll be a technology
is great.
Labor cost
savings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super. Okay. Any questions, anybody, on that?
I don't have any questions. You answered everything. It sounds like a really great software and upgrade for you guys.
Hi. Thank you. All right. We move on to 294. This is our employee uniforms and safety equipment. We increased that by 500 for the cover the new custodian that we have on the second sheet. Mm-hmm. All right, move on to 413. This is our reimbursement for employee mileage. It's mostly on-call scenarios. We don't do a whole lot of travel in our department. We don't do any trainings locally. We don't have those types of travel expenses. So it is primarily mileage reimbursement. Questions on that one? 414, communication services. First one's department's phone system, cell phones, and cell phone charges. It's pretty self-explanatory. Next one down is a new one. This is a fire alarm dialer. Currently, state code requires you have two phone lines for your fire alarm system, so that if there's a fire alarm goes off, automatically dials fire department. They have deemed that cell service is more reliable than landlines, because you see a lot of times it's still old copper lines in the ground or deteriorate. But the key to this is, currently for this building, we spend about $170 a month for those two phone lines. Once the upfront cost of installing the equipment, from that point on, the cell dialer is $150 annually for the fee for it. So it's a one-time cost for the equipment, and then after that it's just $150 annually for the service versus paying $170 a month. On that one.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I got messed up.
Currently, we pay $170 a month for the two phone lines.
Why do you need two phone lines?
Because if one fails, you have the second.
Just redundancy. Okay.
And then it'll move that to a cell base, which is the same thing. It's still two phone lines. Two cellular phone lines that are on the emergency band, which, you know, in emergency, it takes precedence, you know, we talked about that, we talked, you know. And then the equipment is a one-time purchase, and then after that, it's just $150 annually.
So currently, you'd be spending around $2,000 plus some a year.
A year.
And now you're saying, well, we'll do a $1,700 upfront cost, which is less than $2,000 right there, and then after that, it's just $150 a year.
Yeah, so it's a big.
Big cost savings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it, thank you.
Took me a minute too to understand that.
Sounds good. So the $1,700 includes the equipment, it's just the dialer, or it's the dialer plus the?
Yeah, the $1,700 includes the equipment and the first year's, and that year's.
Got it.
Service, and then after that, you will just see it as a $150 annual expense.
Excellent, okay, thank you.
The next one's Story Connor, your monthly charges. For our department. All right, on the 422. So our continuing education classes, state of Iowa trade licenses, those refrigeration classes, we got. Licensed electrician, a couple of certified HVAC techs, refrigerant certified. And as those licenses, you know, that renew them, obviously require continuing education units. And we're looking at, Kelly has some floor care and general custodial training, he wants to send like shift two. On to utilities. That's electric, water, sewer for this building. We did increase it. So by about 20,000. This building we've seen, well, it's got to do with weather. A little bit of it was a rate increase. That's why that went up. Luckily, this building doesn't have natural gas in it. So. This one, we'll talk about that when we get to the center.
Yeah.
On the 441, then utilities. All right, first one is just general repairs to the building structure. Ceiling tile and glass replacement. That's 441 is mostly things that are physically hard attached to the structure of the building.
Is that like the glass in the stairwells?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like physical walls that we build and stuff, they fall under this one. Next one is build an office, actual office with walls for our new custodial maintenance supervisor. Currently we have Kelly set up at the desk, which is kind of in our lobby, you know, in our lobby area. So it's not real private. So we need to have private conversations. This is my office, John's office, where we've got some, now that we've digitized a lot of our files in our office. We've got blueprint racks that we don't need anymore. We have a brick table that we don't use anymore. So we're going to remove that and that'll give us space to build two walls and put a door and we can have his own private office. Then next one was a request from the assessor's office to have some windows that open in their cubicle area. On nice days, they come up with windows, which Most all the other offices have some of those, but making a request for that. So most likely what we'll do is we have some openable windows in areas that, like one of which is my personal office, I've never opened it. It's a little bit cheaper than buying a new window.
Which would take forever to get anyways.
Yes.
So all the windows are standard size in this building?
Yes and no. See, basically what they do is the window frame itself, since it's extruded aluminum, it stays. And they physically pull the glass out of it, and they just have the insulated glass made to order, and then come in and install the glass.
Okay.
So it's a little different than like a house.
Okay.
But since all of them are the same, all the, you know, rectangle windows, they're all the same size, we have that ability to move things around. When we remodeled, we did a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get, you know, so every, you know, like, elected official department head had an openable window in their office and tried to get openable windows in most of the, you know, open areas so that their kids can, fresh air in.
Good.
That's assuming you have a window at all.
Yes.
Oh.
Lucy's one of them that doesn't have a window in her office.
Ted is another one.
Yeah, Ted's another one.
I mean, we have windows. They're not to the exterior.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've got an openable one.
She has an openable one, though.
Because I said.
So sometimes I go and look out Lisa's window.
Just to see what it looks like outside. All right, the next one's, we're going to replace the drinking fountain on the main floor. It sits behind that.
Mm-hmm. Is that a hands-free drinking fountain? I mean, some of them you have to kind of like, you know, push in for the water.
We haven't decided for sure what style. If we're looking at doing the touch-free, and then have the bottle fill capability on it.
Mm-hmm. Should be great.
That one's original to the building. It's currently there. It still operates, but it's starting to give us fits, so.
Oh, the one on the marble wall downstairs?
Yep.
Yeah. It looks like one out of like an old school.
Yeah. It's been here since 1966, so.
Oh.
It's been a trooper. So.
1966.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I figure that's a good place to have one bottle bill. Alright, next down is just lawn care, chemicals, grass seed, that kind of stuff. Semi-annual generator maintenance and inspection, that's when we contract out.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
Don't have to take very long on this, but have we ever thought of reducing some of the mowing that we're doing by putting in perennials? Might want to talk to Joe Quaker about it because the county's got seed.
Yeah, so we've used, you know, we've done some at the animal shelter. We got the seed to go.
Mm-hmm. They collect a lot of seed this year.
Yeah.
And he's got a seeder. He's got all the equipment.
I know, right?
And if that would, you know, save some labor, save some time, get people more interested in prairie plantings.
Sure.
Just thought of it. I saw seed. Okay.
Okay. And generator fuel. Pretty self-explanatory. And, next one down, replace windows with bad seals. As the windows lose their seals, we just replace them as needed. Next one's sidewalk, driveway repairs, and we added funds in there due to crack fill and repaint the lines in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Here. All right. Questions on that? I'll move on to just keep moving.
Keep moving.
Go ahead.
Printer lease and printer costs, that's our managed print solution costs for this building. So on down to equipment and machinery. First one is, we'd like to add, this is a new one, it's not a replacement, a new piece of equipment, it is a larger lawn-style tractor that has a loader bucket on it. Whereas we do lawn and landscape work, we have a skid loader we currently use, but it weighs 14,000 pounds, so it's hard to navigate the lawns with that without doing damage. So we would like to get a piece of equipment with the loader, so as we haul landscape rock and dirt, plus it would get used to mow out at the Justice Center, because it will come with a 84-inch wide mower deck versus the permanents have 60-inch decks. So it'll primarily be used just as a spring, summer, fall piece of equipment. We don't anticipate using it for snow removal. It doesn't have the lifting capacity and to set it up for snow. And, could justify the additional cost to make it snow usable. And it gets divided between four budgets where it would be used, so it's a $20,000 piece of equipment, $5,000 per budget. Questions on that? Dump trailer. This is our second dump trailer. We replaced the other one in FY, last FY. Second one, we haul snow with when it does snow. Thankfully, not on wood. We haven't yet, but it sounds like after Friday.
You assume that the weather forecast knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, last time they were a little off the mark.
You think?
Sooner or later it will hit
us. Yeah, you're right.
And we got to make it go away out of our parking lot. And just like the other one we replaced, we increased the size of the dump trailer. It's got more capacity and it's heavier duty. So the haul more safely, because we taxed the old ones. We usually were right on their maximum capacity. We also know, especially when we also use them to haul the skid loader from location to location. So when we have a just to hair over a 13,000 pound piece of equipment in a trailer that's got a 14,000 pound load capacity. I didn't like that, so we jumped the capacity up to 16,000 pound capacity. All that needs to be put in hand snow safely.
Good.
So it's just, yeah, those on a rotation. For replacement, so that 4250 would be times four. Right. Next one is the expense for the generator, 686,968, up from previous, and that was due to inflation, but it has gone up. But also the, it should be talked earlier, the reimbursement from potential reimbursement from FEMA is up as well. This particular grant application had a higher percentage of match than the previous ones.
So if we get that grant, we'll be putting about $164,000 of county money into it to get a generator. That's not bad. That's not bad.
The entire facility.
The entire facility, exactly. So it looks like your budget without the generator goes up only about 20,000 over your three-year average. So I just backed the 686 out of the 957, and I got 270,000. And your three-year average is 254. That's not a huge increase given the age of this building. That's my thought about it.
No, not bad. You know, especially when you look at, our budget's like case in point with this generator being in there, it can, depending on the fiscal year, it can fluctuate, a few $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think with overall, just our normal operating costs, 20 grand increases.
That's not much. That's what not over last year, it's over a 3-year. So I always like those 3-year averages. They help me kind of figure out where things are. Any other questions on the admin building budget? If not, you've a lot of the things that you've given a good explanation on here are kind of repeated in other budgets, so I'll just encourage you. So you can just kind of skip over those.
From this point forward, I'm going to, as you can see, I've got highlighted things on my sheet. That'll be my focus from here on out, unless something jumps out, because 80% of my budgets are the same line.
The same, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yep. I think that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 113,
expenses,
114.
113,
114. What's bulkhead repair?
Yeah, I was trying to Google what a bulkhead was.
Yeah, that's one of my highlighted things. So,
I know.
To answer your question, with the drop ceiling meets that sheetrock ceiling, the sheetrock portion would be the bulkhead. So in the living room of the group homes, they have a higher ceiling in the middle, and then it drops down 24 inches, and then the rest of the ceilings are that high. Y'all probably have some in houses.
Yeah.
But basically...
It basically hides the HVAC.
Yeah, here it is. But this bulkhead, where it meets the higher ceiling in the living room, it has started to drop.
They have a tray ceiling, I think that's called.
The sheetrock is pulled away, it's got a gap around it. So it's nothing structural, that one comes down to, as far as we can tell by investigating it, they got lazy and didn't use enough fasteners to hold the bulkhead. It's a lot of the sheetrock out, jacked the bulkhead back up to where it's supposed to be, fasten it securely, re-sheet rock it, and finish it. So that is the bulkhead repair. Another one I had highlighted is the new work order software. Let's talk about that. The other two group homes, Calhoun and Duluth, wallpaper removal.
Pick.
They're full of ugly wallpaper. Most group homes are built starting in 90, basically. We've done it. Hazel has been done. So our overarching goal is to get the other two group homes to match Hazel. Now, we've done the flooring, but we did one group home flooring in FY21, doing the other group home flooring in this current fiscal year. Now we're moving on to get the wallpaper out, painting them to match. So
you don't have any staff time in this budget.
Nobody's wages come out of
those. Okay, and that's because you spend time at the group homes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because essentially back in the day, when we still had CLP, the group homes fell kind of underneath the CLP budget, and we had staff time out of the CLP budget. And when we sold the CLP and no longer own that, we just moved those staffs. Wages to other budgets, and then just left the group homes as this, just for simplifying the budget, so to speak.
Correct.
Group homes are...
Doesn't matter. I mean, we have the money one way or another. I was just curious.
But that is why we don't have staff wages out of the group homes and a lot of it, because we don't... It's not like we have anybody that's designated just for the group homes.
Right, there's not custodial work, there's not the normal...
Yes, we do no custodial other than minor stuff in the basements. And that's just because we have pest control, so then you get dead bugs that we go down there and clean them once a month. So, because the staff at HSC is who covers the group homes.
Because we get revenue on the group homes, we need to pay property taxes, correct?
Correct.
They're not, are they here or did I miss
them? No, it's a countywide.
Ah, okay.
16, right at 16,000 a year.
Why don't I remember these things from year to year? Okay.
Because you have Lisa?
Exactly. and she always answers the question. She doesn't just look at me and say, you know that. You knew it a year ago. And the reason I'm just asking those things is we have revenue of over 200,000 on the group homes and show 82 on expenses. And actually, we probably spend more than that keeping them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But we do cover our costs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, without a doubt.
Was there any other questions, or Joby, did I interrupt and you had something else to talk about?
No, we covered my highlighted items, unless there's any particular questions about the group home budget. We move on to human services.
I now know what a bulkhead is.
Yeah, I have no questions.
All right, thanks for your budget. Sure, your dogs didn't have a question.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking the dogs might have been.
I heard it, but I couldn't quite understand it. You might have to translate.
Okay. Human services. Center.
So I increased the pay plan in this one by one person. I think we decided,
yes.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So your salary portions are going to be a little higher than just because we have staffing additions that have already happened. Well, not all already happened. But
yeah. Move one.
Mm-hmm.
We go on to overtime. I see that you spent 91% this already, the first 6 months, but you haven't reestimated, it's still 1,000 and it's still 1,000 next year.
Yep, that is because, page
115.
Yeah, my.
Oh, your page, I'm sorry. I have no idea.
I believe that is due to the staff that we moved around. Is why we chose not to re-estimate that one.
Oh, because you got one more staff person in there, so you can get the overtime.
Well,
we moved one staff out and put to a different one, and put a different staff member underneath that budget that won't have the overtime. Is it somebody who gets overtime in lieu of comp time?
Uh-huh.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So which now they're.
Now they're in a different budget.
Now they're in a different budget, so we felt that we won't see any additional overtime expenses for.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
For HSC. Okay. Custodial supplies. We're looking at purchasing a new auto scrubber for the Human Services Center. So that is. The one I had highlighted in that particular line item. questions? All right, 241. Talked about it in some of the other ones. Replace battery tools for all of our locations, so that's accounted for in the tools and equipment line. And cameras at that facility as well. It's all the basic ones. And 250, same thing, fuel and repairs to fleet trucks and snow equipment. Under office supplies, that's the thing I highlighted there was the this building's portion of the recorder software. And communication services, doing the same thing in HSC with the fire panel dialer. Similar scenario, it's got a little bit less monthly charges for the current phone lines, and that's just the carrier names, but it's still, I think that one's 150 a month for two phone lines. Utilities, this one we chose to projections on it didn't warrant because it's a city of Ames utilities building versus Alliant, so weren't anticipating a rate increase, so we didn't increase it, we just left it as is. Down to 441, first thing I got highlighted is replacement main vinyl flooring. That is the back hallways on both lower level and main level, and then on lower level, the main landing. So that's less than the building. Those are the last of the original vinyl flooring. The building was built in 98, so. And another place in drain fountain with bottle fill. One in that building that has the capability of doing that. So same deal as this building. Trying to get a touchless one. First choice. So. Mm-hmm. And parking lot crack fill and repaint restripe is due again. And this is the next one that I want to talk about is the HVAC replacement. It's another application that I put in for. So that's accept that, and it's on the revenue page. Next one is Veterans Affairs. Brett talked to me about, he receives a lot of flags being properly destroyed. Mm-hmm. We discussed just having a drop box on the outside of the building that he's got a key to, so people don't have to bring him down to his office. So that's mm-hmm. what that one is. Questions for 441?
Mm-hmm. Well, the question. Where's the bottle fill going in this building?
In which building? In HSC?
The HSC.
They'll be in the basement of community services.
Okay.
And the reasoning is it has a traditional drinking fountain down there, where the one on main floor and the one on top floor are those weird island ones.
Uh-huh.
And there's no real good way of adding one without getting very deep into getting the plumbing to it. So. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would like to put one on every floor, but we'll start with where it's feasible and then investigate further from there. So.
Sure, yeah, sounds good.
All right.
And I appreciate your focus on the security cameras in the building.
Yes, I feel that one's a very important one. We've had some incidents here or there, especially there at HSC, getting those stair towers covered with cameras is going to be beneficial because that is where we have a lot of people that like to hang out in the building, like that back stair tower, where we get cameras in there to make sure we tell them that, because we're inviting people hanging out in there, and hopefully that helps cure some of those problems.
I think that's good. I just had one question, and it's a general one. On the building repairs and maintenance, as we're going through these, it's, I'm realizing, you know, we don't have the space needs study yet, and I presume that there are some things you're going to say that I'm going to wait for the space needs study because we might be doing something different with certain areas.
But I want to still plan in case, you know, because I don't know the priorities in the land or some other variables, especially in this building. We need, you know, we don't know what this regional employment thing is going to look like, the community services, and how that's going to delay things. So I want to, you know, but I want to make sure that we're, I don't like to just, well, let's just wait and if something doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, I agree. It's good to plan. Good. Just got to plan in a few directions right now.
Yes, because there's always, you know, we budget for it. We don't have to do it. If we see that we don't need it because the space needs study drives something, but.
Speaking of that, I put a note here. Do we need, how much do we need to add here for engineering for the remodel of this building?
Well, I don't know. I have that as a note for at the end on where we was going, because we talked about in the CIP to add that 50,000 for engineering and architectural use, but we never really landed on what building that may or may not be. I know that I gave my opinion on what I thought were the top three projects, two of which were at the Justice Center, one of which was at the Human Services Center, but I feel that the Human Services Center, I don't think would be the appropriate place to put it due to we need more direction on what that community services office is going to look like.
Okay, so what you're thinking is put it in countywide, and
That's correct.
Okay.
That was my recommendation at the end of the putting that architectural engineering fees in countywide services.
All right.
So that way we can use it where, you know, once we kind of settle on that priority.
Right. Well, yeah, you're Service Area 9. All your stuff comes out of there. So it's going to be in Service Area 9 no matter what.
No matter what. Okay.
So that kind of does that, doesn't it? Because the others are things that are in the other budget.
Yeah, we've already talked about the builder and the
okay, anybody have any other questions then on HSC?
Nope.
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, move it on.
Justice Center.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm going to go to 241. Unless everybody's got questions on overtime, church benefits, and facilities supplies. All right. 241, we have this line item plumbing upgrades. It showed up in this current FY22. We found a material product, I guess, you know, our jail shower sinks and toilets. They're vacuum operated mechanical flushing valves. These are electronic. And we tried a few, and it's cut our, the ones that we've installed that are the electronics, they have some features so that they can, so the jail staff can, you know, limit the amount of times they can flush a stool, automatically locks out, so they can, you know, cut down on overflowing toilets, and excessive showering, set buttons on it. Plus, they have about a quarter of the moving parts. It's the mechanical ones that are in there now, so it's reduced our repair times on that type of stuff in our columns. Primarily those happen nights and weekends. So we can call them a lot to work on toilets and showers, but these eliminate a lot of those moving pieces.
So there's
cylinder valves that hit a button and draws a vacuum on a diaphragm. The diaphragm opens a mechanical valve that lets the water into the sink or the toilet or the shower, or these. It's literally just a one electric solenoid, electronic device. It's better operated. So you just push a button and then it turns it on and it's set the limits on there. You can set the times of day that it'll actually operate and only allow the button to be pushed so many times in an hour or it knocks itself out.
So it's going to have, it'll save on water too.
Yes.
Sounds like something people with teenagers need.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So are they programmable?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And then down to tools and equipment, same thing. We increase that. The battery operated tool replacement. Due to replace the water heater that services the hand wash sinks in the kitchen. Those have their own separate water heater, so that we don't scald any of the inmate workers' hands. So that needs to be replaced. This next one is one that General Mike Anderson had requested. We've discovered in this last year, for all the infrastructure that's happening out there by the Justice Center, we've got that huge addition on Berg. Building, you know, new high B. I don't know if it's Alliant is upgrading their infrastructure or they're running into overload situations, but in the last 6 months, since construction season started, you know, back in the spring, the Justice Center has lost power more times in the last 6 to 8 months than it has in the previous 19 years.
What, really?
Yes. So
that's not good. No.
But we'll generate back up there. But what we ran into is, you know, when the power goes out in a live scenario, there's a 15-second delay before the generator kicks on. Well, they were transporting an inmate from booking into housing.
Right in that 15 seconds.
Right when it happened, and of course, you know, it's jail, so there's not like there's a lot of windows. Well, that main corridor has no natural light in it, so it was pitch black for that 15 seconds. Now, granted, that inmate was nobody that was, you know,
going to take advantage of that.
But yeah. 15 seconds in a in a situation like that is a long time. So we decided that yes, we have full generator backups. We don't need emergency lights because full generator backup, but for safety purposes, we wanted to install some. And of course, since they're penal rated, they're not inexpensive. So that is for two emergency lights.
But yeah, building automation update, you mean?
What's that?
Is that the building automation or the jail emergency?
That's the jail emergency light.
$900 a light, huh?
$900 a light. And they're about 3 inches tall, about 9 inches long, but they have, as you know very well, Linda, the word penal in front of anything, and the triples and cups.
Of course.
But they're virtually indestructible, but that'll, but I think.
Virtually.
Yeah.
Someone will find a way.
Somebody will find a way to destroy them.
To get to the
let's be optimistic here.
Okay, well, I'm being
to get to the root cause of this issue, what's Alliance say about all these outages?
They're aware of it. It's working on it.
So that we don't need to call them.
I'm guessing it's from what I see in my background in the field, it's updating.
Okay.
Because they're not, most of them aren't very long.
That was my next question.
So that leads me to believe that they are planned outages, but I think Alliant uses the theory of we'll ask for forgiveness versus
seeking permission.
So they just do it, and by the time somebody complains,
it's
the power's back on. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they're 30 minutes or less that we're mm-hmm. the power's actually out. So.
Well, could we have a generator at that building?
We have two. Yeah. We have one that runs the facility and one that backs up the other one. So. But that's code for having that type of facility. So.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah. But I think that the $1,800 is pretty inexpensive compared to high call of life safety.
Would agree.
Yeah.
And building automation updates is just continuing with that big HVAC project. Updated our building automation software 2 fiscal years ago. We got a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of stuff at that building, and there's a lot of things mm-hmm. that we now can put on the automation system that we couldn't on our old system. So it gives us control over like things we've added is the jail shower mixing valve. We put in a digital one instead of a mechanical one. We have the certain temp that we can only send in showers and sinks. So now we've got a digital one that's tied to our building automation so we can monitor the water temp, adjust it on the fly, and maintains it more accurately, and then install our HVAC equipment, some of our lighting, you know, our motion sensors. So just keeping that up, adding more pieces to it is what that one is. Then this last one, camera license fees. Micah is, in this fiscal year, has a project of updating and adding a bunch of cameras to the Justice Center. Currently, we have our own system that monitors the five exterior doors, and then the jail has their system that covers rest of the cameras in the facility. Mm-hmm. So Mike and I got together and it's like, why should we have two separate systems? So and then Kyle from IT confirmed that our current cameras that we have will work on the milestone system that the jail uses. So now mm-hmm. and then Mike is going to replace the old camera, the antiquated cameras in the courthouse and add a bunch to the exterior, and we are going to move our cameras to his system, and that's a one-time fee of $1,260, and then Mike will give us login credentials so that we can see all cameras on their system except for the jail, for obvious reasons. So then we will have the ability to see all the cameras instead of just the five that we do see, mm-hmm. and then we won't have, it'll reduce our annual fees for camera monitoring because the license that they have for their cameras, adding our five to that system won't increase their annual monitoring fees, but will eliminate facilities management's annual monitoring.
Okay.
For those five cameras, which is like $200, like $230 per camera. So.
Okay.
So that's what that one's about. So we are essentially, like the other buildings, we will have more cameras at the Justice Center than currently are now, and then we don't have two independent camera systems running.
Do you have to have some sort of like contractual agreement so that you always have access, you know, login access, or
yeah,
do you need to have some sort of contractual agreement that you always have that login access? Okay.
Yep. Okay. And then maintenance. I don't have anything specific on yet. For office supplies, communication services, utilities. With the, there is a significant increase.
Yeah.
It's no secret what we've all heard, been talked about for natural gas.
Yep.
The Justice Center, it is, you know, like here, like you had in building HSC, we already had natural gas in these facilities. So all geothermal and electric. But the Justice Center, we do. A lot of it's got to do with, we got a whole kitchen they operate. Some of our rooftop equipment are gas fired. So we tried to best we could see what our usage is, look at all the reports that are out there on anticipated increases in natural gas, and try to budget accordingly. So that's why you see $214,000 is our request for 23, and $175,000 was a request for this current fiscal year.
You've re-estimated
based off of our current usage and anticipating that pattern, averaging out until the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so help me understand the geothermal there a little more. You know, what functions are covered by the geothermal?
All of our 90% of our heating and cooling is geothermal out there.
Okay.
Now, due to the large amount, since it is, you know, like the shale portion of that facility has an even higher code requirement for air exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So in some areas, primarily in housing, which is roughly half the jail, each cell has its own toilet in the cell. So that has a very high rate. You have to exchange that air over multiple times in an hour. The only way to pull that in has to be replaced with fresh outdoor air.
Okay.
The only way to accomplish that in an efficient manner is we have to pre-treat. At least some of them are, as you, like those areas, you have to exhaust the air 100% and replace it with 100% outdoor air. Well, in your extreme scenarios, like wintertime, a geothermal heat pump can't take negative 20 degree air and bring it up to, you know, you gotta put, you know, 90 to 120 degree air to heat that space. It's all concrete, walls, floors, ceilings. So the only way to accomplish that is natural gas heat. You just can't do it with geothermal. They can't handle that type of load. So a lot of the rooftop equipment is natural gas. For like our other buildings, they don't fall underneath that same massive code requirement. So,
I appreciate that.
So then yeah,
that makes sense.
You know, the kitchen cooking equipment and that, but like, you know, plus the, you know, there is 350-gallon water heaters that are gas-fired that service the kitchen.
So the natural gas
equipment.
Is
what's that?
The natural gas is pretty much all the jail.
Yeah, the jail.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
The sheriff's office courthouse. It's all geothermal electric. You know, we don't have any.
Okay.
Our water heaters on that side, on those parts of the building.
So it's just the specific things in the jail because of certain regulations or needs that we cannot.
Yeah.
we cannot do it with Geo. But everything else, all the offices are in the whole place, the courtrooms, all of that's on Geo. Okay. That, I appreciate that explanation. Thank you.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the largest building with our, has the largest natural gas demand, and they're talking anywhere from 40% to 80% increases in natural gas costs.
Housing people is always expensive.
It sure is. All right. Down to 441. I got highlighted, add building signage. That was a request from both the clerk's office and our own sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. There's no real directory there, so it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. You walk in the front door, you know, the front lobby, you know, main entry, that building's confusing anyway. So get some signage to get people going in the mm-hmm. right direction. Mm-hmm. And then this should say ballistic glass for the jail clerk. So right now it's just standard glass. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, this day and age, we can want more of that
sure.
stuff, especially out there. But, so. Mm-hmm. And then add more drink fountains with bottle fill capabilities, two fountains. Courthouse side, depending on what happens with the remodel, right before in the county attorney's area. Now it's going to be two for sure. And then geo coatings project, this is all the jail showers. They have a epoxy coating on them now. It's original, and it's just on the floor. It is met its life expectancy. So this is redoing that with a little bit better product. It's the floors will be essentially the same thing that we did to the dog kennels at the animal shelter. And then we're also going to go up the walls and the showers 8 feet. Right now it's just cinder block. They virtually have to paint it like once a month. Inmates do it, but it's still
yes.
After 20 years of being open, there's a quarter inch thick layer of paint. So it's grinding it all off, grinding the floor down. Some of the areas where concrete wasn't sloped correctly, it sloped so the water goes to the drains. And get a nice hard coating on there that's easier to clean and maintain.
So I can't remember what the showers look like in there. Are you getting, how will you keep some going when you do this project?
When we get to that, we're going to try. The goal is to catch a time where the population is down so that we can move inmates around. But you will see in the sheriff's budget request, he's going to have some dollars in there in case we have to relocate. Because some of it is we got to take, because the contractor's going to, they don't want to come in and just do one shower at a time. They're going to want to get a decent price with these large areas. Now, we feel that we can do it because we've done it, but we just finished a project where we were able to take all of APOD, which is half the jail, and vacate it. Do a lot of towel hook replacement mm-hmm. and stuff. So that is the plan. But we also want to plan in case we do have to move people. Because some of it is some of the areas it's going to be hard to get them closed off to the other inmates when we get into housing. Mm-hmm. And then we also have chemical smell that we have to accommodate for if we don't have any health hazards.
How long would be the work would be the anticipated?
Like APOD, it's about a 5 week start to finish. Now we get into housing because it's got separate pods. You know, it might take, when you time we start on the first one till they finish with the last one, it could be, you know, three months.
Gotcha.
5 weeks to 3 months?
What's that?
What's the current jail population?
Right now, today, I think we average around 60. Capacity is like 110. But we do find points, you know, where we get down to, especially when the students leave.
Yeah.
We can get as low as in the 20s. So.
I don't know what the contracts for the counties look like now in terms of a daily cost. But that could be awfully expensive. A couple hundred thousand or more. Well, we'll see what the sheriff has.
Yeah, I'll see what sheriff and Big John wants to work on that. Okay. So my number's just actual work itself for the report. And kitchen grease trap, it was going to be part of the CIP project for FY26 when we do the jail kitchen flooring. Mm-hmm. But it's as we the last time we serviced it, we noticed the current trap is in worse shape than we had anticipated, so we moved it forward and replaced. So that's one of the code requires us to have it because it's basically classified as a commercial kitchen. So. And then jail door lock air compressor replacement. All of the jail door locks are pneumatic, and then they have a automated interface. It's that Stanley system that, you know, Master Control clicks on an icon and opens the door. They're all air locks. The compressors are original to the facility, and this last year, the manufacturer of those compressors are no longer supporting replacement components for those compressors. And, you know, they're 20 years old. Get them replaced before we have tank failures and that kind of stuff. Plus, there's a lot of pieces to that system that not necessarily installed incorrectly, but they didn't do us any favors as far as giving us the ability to work on them, because there's two compressors and then there's a big air. We have an air dryer, dries the air out so we don't get any moisture in any of the locks. The way it's set up is it's two compressors that are supposed to be redundant, but the way they piped it and tied into the dryers, you can't work on one without shutting them both off. Mm-hmm. So as we replace them, I spoke with Jill Administrator John about this. We're going to redo the way they're piped so that they're actually truly redundant, so that we can physically take one out of service and leave one operational. And then, so with that, there'll be a day where they'll probably have to use keys, but I've spoken with John about that. And we do have a portable one that we are going to get hooked up so that the jail locks work as we work on replacing it. We'll replace them in-house, our techs set them up the way that they should be, the way we feel they should be. Mm-hmm. And it's just they're due. Have to replace them.
It's nice to see you can make improvements as you're replacing this stuff.
Yep. And that's what I had highlighted for 441. So if you've got questions about that.
Any questions?
I don't have questions.
Okay. Nope.
444 is pretty self-explanatory. 633, it shows up as it is. Mm-hmm. Three other budgets, with the loader and the dump trailer.
So So this one also does have some considerable increase over the 22 re-estimate and over the three-year average, but you've got a lot of one-time things in there.
Yes.
And I didn't try to back any of them out to see what the increase is without it, because, well, there's one-time things basically in every year, and we know that. But.
Well, you've got that large one of 53,000 in this one just for the jail coding project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that bumps it up quite a bit just right with that.
Mm-hmm. And that, yeah.
And the gas cost. Yeah.
The gas cost.
Yep.
Yep.
And the ballistic glass.
Yeah.
That's a one-time cost.
Yeah. And we all know that costs for just about everything are going up.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking at these budgets and I'm seeing, you know, in other years I might have said, gee, you got a lot more in there than you had, you know, for your three-year average or for last year. You know, I think at this point the increases, who knows what we're going to see. So I don't see anything that looks out of line. And hope the natural gas one's enough.
Yeah,
I know.
I do too.
It's one of those, like, because it's already a high utility bill. You know, that was one we talked about for a long time. So we essentially went with around a 60% increase is what we used for just natural gas.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's expensive to house people.
It is.
It really is. So. Yeah. Any other questions from anybody?
I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Lisa, did you have
a... I do not have any other questions.
Okay, thank you. Lisa Markley, did you have any final comments or any things that you saw on this? Okay.
No.
Thank you.
All right.
For the thorough look at your budget there. Are there budget people are building is going?
Yeah.